Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. This is your host, Jorge Martin. Familia, post Thursday night football. Okay, it's post Thursday night football. The game just ended. Steelers were able to pull it out at home. So, you know, tough. I mean, gosh, you don't go in to Pittsburgh and not get punched in the nose a bunch of times. But first off, it was a tough game. Both teams just really, really fought hard. Tennessee really showed something. Will Levis showed us something. He took a beating today. So it was a rough one. Made some really good throws. Showed some promise. I really hope that they keep him in the job the rest of the season. I think he's got talent. I mean, I know there were some questions about upstairs with him, but I think I think he definitely deserves plenty of time. Most important, though, good thoughts, prayers, oraciones for Treylon Burks. He had a rough fall there that really, he had to get taken off, taken to a hospital. So hopefully everything comes out clear. He did give the thumbs up to the crowd, so they were able to cheer that. So oraciones, thoughts, prayers, light a veladora for him. On the Tennessee side, actually, some promising things. As we mentioned, 262 yards for Will Levis. His over-under was 201, so that was a good payoff there. Steelers, they are susceptible to the pass if the pass rush doesn't get home. Okay, so the sack, they were able to get a lot of hits on him, sacked him a few times. I think it was four times that he got sacked in total. That's the thing with the Pittsburgh defense right now. If their pass rush is the strength, not particularly great against the run, not particularly great against the pass. They have gotten beaten sometimes. So as we mentioned, Will Levis, 262 yards, empty, did not throw a touchdown, did throw an interception in there. Derrick Henry got home 75 yards. He got a touchdown. Tajay Spears, you know what? This is just what it's going to be. He got five carries, and then he also got four receptions, a total of 26 yards. He's still getting work on special teams, familia. So that's one of the things that's really, really hurting him. On the receiving side, DeAndre Hopkins, good game, 60 yards, not a great game, 40, after what he, the three touchdowns that he had earlier in the week. So, but that's kind of what you're going to see. He is going to be the primary target, got targeted 11 times today. Chigakonkwo did not really show himself, 28 yards on three receptions. Other than that, it was like, as we mentioned, Treylon Burks, two catches for 23 yards on three targets. Kyle Phillips led the way, four catches, 68 yards. So, right now, as far as I'm concerned, the only player to roster, the only receiver to roster in Tennessee is going to be Hopkins. Keep an eye on Chigakonkwo because, again, there's that narrative that we always have, the rookies do like the rookie quarterbacks do like tight ends. So that's something to keep an eye on. I'm not really keeping an eye on any other receivers. Over on the Pittsburgh side, so we've got just kind of an uneven performance, familia. Just an uneven performance. You got Kenny Pickett, 160 yards. They were not putting the ball in his hands to try and win the game. No, they were trying to run the ball. 88 yards for Jaylen Warren on 11 carries, 16 carries for 69 yards for Najee Harris. Preseason, my guy, so don't get me started on that. But, when it came to Jaylen Warren, he got over 100 yards total, added 25 yards, so 113 yards total. Najee got only 7 yards receiving. So who's the running back to roster on this one? You're going to roster both of them. I think you could play both of them. You probably did quite an investment on Najee Harris. I think as long as he's healthy, you're playing him. 69 yards. He got a touchdown today. So I think you're kind of squinting a little bit and you kind of look and see, okay, yeah, that's something that we can kind of work with a little bit, maybe as an RB2, definitely not as an anchor RB, like a lot of people were drafting him, as I did in a few teams. So, Jalen Warren, he's that guy. He's an RB2. He's a flex play for you. Unless you don't, hopefully you have a receiver who's better than him. But again, you know, if you get 113 yards, even without a touchdown, you're kind of happy there. But really, I mean, those guys were the only guys to keep an eye on from the passing game, from the receiving, I mean, rushing game. Deontay Johnson, familia. 7 catches, 90 yards, but bum, ba-da-bum, ba-bum, ba-bum. Yeah, you definitely want to bet. You got Deontay Johnson. He got his touchdown today. So good job. He doesn't have to hear about it anymore, being touchdown free. So you got a touchdown. Salvatry, he actually made the prediction that he was going to get home with the touchdown today. So good job on that one. So, you know, other than that, you know, George Pickens caught two balls for -1 yards. He was close on a touchdown, just got his toes, a little bit over the line, out of bounds. So tough one. That would have been really nice. Really nice. So again, 20-16 for Pittsburgh. It's what it's going to be with Pittsburgh right now. I don't think Pickett is a really good quarterback. Maybe you get the running game, but you know what? You hope that he is good enough that he can, you know, at least on a given week, support Deontay Johnson and or George Pickens. You know, it might just be one or the other. Look at the matchups a little bit, but really, I mean, I think Deontay Johnson should be getting 10 targets every week. Whether they hit home, that's another story. So, familia, y'all, if you know any of you watching out there, throw some questions in there, or you can make sure to hit me up at JorgeMartin17. A few more people are doing that right now, making sure to send me questions on players that whether they start or sit, or maybe even some trade questions. Get them to me there at JorgeMartin17. Also, make sure you're following us on YouTube, Familia FFB on YouTube. So, looking over at some of the games that are happening, I'm going to focus on 4 games that have a lot of fantasy relevant players, Familia. So, first game, actually, we are going to go to Alemania. So, we're going to Germany, and you got Miami going to Kansas City, Here it comes. So, tough one for the Kansas City faithful. I hope they would have cheered Tyreek Hill coming back to Kansas City. So that would have been nice. Hopefully we're going to see a nice pregame hug, with him and Mahomes and with Kelce. So, that was a great offense. He's on a great offense right now. Familia, you're looking at when it comes to the Miami offense, you're just starting your guys, but it's pretty concentrated. So you don't have to think a lot. You're starting Tua, you're starting Hill, you're starting Jalen Waddle and Raheem Mostert. Jeff Wilson, I don't think you're playing him too much. And plus the fact that after the bye week, there's the possibility that Devon Achane is going to be back. Or Achane, as we like to call him, as I like to call him in Spanish. So you're looking at that one. But you know what? It's kind of tough. It's kind of tough for Miami this week, because Kansas City has not allowed a 300-yard passer. So it's kind of like the immovable force against the unstoppable object. Tua Tagovailoa, I mean, he's been as good as he gets, a little bit more mortal when he's away from Miami. So I wonder if it could be a little different. I mean, this is going to be a different kind of crowd. This crowd is going to be yelling at every play. So maybe even a little bit similar to SoFi Stadium, where there's cheering because there's so many people from the visiting stadium coming in. But yeah, Tua, he's been fantastic. Okay, Familia. It's no way, shape, or form about it. He's one of the top quarterbacks for fantasy on the season. Even though he's not running much, he's the QB5, thrown over 2,400 yards. Familia, you're starting him, but it's going to be a tough road to hoe for him because Kansas City, as I mentioned, the Kansas City secondary is no joke. Trent McDuffie is really good. He, you know, what they do with Travis Kelce is going to be a little different because they are number Kansas City is, I'm sorry, what they do against Hill and Waddle is going to be very, it's going to be very telling because, as I mentioned, they're number seven against quarterbacks. They're number five against wide receivers when it comes to fantasy points allowed to the position. So, you're never sitting Hill. You're never sitting Waddle, but especially Hill because he's the wide receiver one. He's already got 1,000 yards. He's on pace for over 2,000 yards. He's going to be just a stud. So, and he beats just about everybody. So let's see what they do if they try and jam him at the line. But for the most part, I think it's going to be, I think he's going to get loose. This game's going to shoot out. So I can see him getting over 100 yards and a touchdown. Waddle, maybe not. Maybe they're going to be able to slow him down a little bit. And, he's had some back spasms going off and on. So almost have it on that one. Where I'm definitely worried is Raheem Mostert because Familia, the last few games have been a little bit uneven with him. 46 yards and a touchdown last week, 45 yards the previous week with no touchdown. So, no running back has got featured in either game. So, almost have it on that one. You're not sitting him because, honestly, yeah, you can't, he's a major part of this offense. So you're going to play him, but just understand that the expectations are a little bit lowered, poquito más para abajo. So, you're not taking him afuera, but you're definitely, hoping that you got an RB1 with him or at least an RB2 with a really, really, really strong matchup. Over on the Kansas City side, Patrick Mahomes, hopefully you got plenty of chicken soup. Hopefully you got a lot of, emergency, all that stuff to kind of get you back, tip top shape. You're starting him. He's one of the starts of the week. The Miami Dolphins have not been, I know they got Jalen Ramsey last week, so that's going to make a big difference now that he's got another week closer to full health. But up to this point, Miami's been number 25 against the quarterback. So you're starting Mahomes. You got to figure this is going to be a very pro Mahomes crowd. He's an international NFL star, so he's going to be very much someone who gets a lot of just gets a lot of support, a lot of love from the crowd that's going to be out there. I don't know how many people from Kansas City may be making the trip. From what I've seen from last year, Germany loves the NFL, and I can't wait to hear "Take Me Home, Country Road." And it's kind of, I know we're not in October anymore, but definitely it's going to be like an Oktoberfest celebration. But you're starting Mahomes, you're starting Kelce, you're starting Pacheco. Now, who else are you starting on there? Rashi Rice. Okay, I just put it, make sure you check out the article that I just did on the Rookie Report. Rashi Rice is getting, he has been the second most involved receiver behind Travis Kelce of late. So he's got an expanding role. I actually like him a lot for the second half of the season because that's when rookie receivers really show up. He's not gonna supplant Kelce, but he's gonna have himself some really good games in there. And as far as the other receivers, I was really high on Sky Moore before the season. I don't think it's gonna happen for Familia. Kadarius Toney, he's just a gadget guy. He's not on the field enough to really, really make a difference. It's I don't know if they're trying to, if they're trying to save him or something. I mean, last week he ran 9 routes and, Travis Kelce ran 35. He led the team with 35. So I just don't see it. Yeah. As I mentioned, Rashi Rice, he ran 26. So he's definitely the second most involved receiver. So, in this game, what I'm looking for is, I'm looking for Kansas City to win. I think they're going to cover. I think it's going to be a small cover, 28-24. So I'd love to see like a 31-28 kind of game. So that'd be fun. But I think the defense is just going to be tough enough. So they're not going to, the Kansas City defense can be tough enough just enough so that they don't give up that fourth touchdown. So I think it'd be three touchdowns, a couple field goals. So, all right. So now going to juego número dos. Okay, familia, and this one's going to be a little bit of an NFC East battle. So Dallas at Philadelphia. Philadelphia is 3-point favorites with a 47-point over-under, and this one, got to look at this one. Now, this game's a little bit of a trap because – yes, Dak Prescott's, you know, thrown four touchdowns the last two games, and he's looked great. He's mortal away from home. Now, this is not, you know, the weather is not going to be bad. It's going to be about 59 degrees, not a chance of rain. Wind isn't expected to be a factor. Now, this is going to be very telling because, as I mentioned, Dak has been a different quarterback at home versus away. Home, he's Superman. Away, he's been, you know, kind of like Kirk Cousins when, you know, before Kirk, you know, he would have some uneven performances. So you're starting Dak, but you're also keeping an eye on, you're also I wouldn't be surprised if he flops in this one. If he flops, it won't be because of the Philadelphia defense, because the Philadelphia defense is number 28 against quarterbacks and number 32 against wide receivers. So really, you know, you're starting CeeDee Lamb. You're even starting Michael Gallup, starting Jake Ferguson on that one. So yeah, they're factors. You just hope that it's not that this game ends up shooting out, which it could. It very well could, because I'll get into Philadelphia. One guy that I'm very worried about going into this game is Tony Pollard. They're not involving him in the passing game as much as we would have thought. I think we were all hoping that this would be something like an Austin Eckler type of situation. It's not. That's unfortunate. So, you know, we do with it what we can. But the fact is that Philadelphia, they're number one against running backs. And so yes, definitely lower your expectations. I don't think you're starting him, because if Tony Pollard's on your team, I doubt that you have two other running backs that are good enough to start over him. This has not been a good year for running backs as far as injuries, and some players get, you know, kind of regressing. And so, so yeah, you're starting him, but it's going to be a tough one. Over on the Philadelphia side, you got the Eagle. Yeah, so you're starting Hurts. You're starting DeAndre Swift. You're starting AJ Brown on that streak for 125 yards in six straight games. Let's see if he can do that again. It's going to be tough because the Cowboys are number two against wide receivers. So it could be a tough road for AJB and Devonta Smith. So vamos a ver on that one. Maybe Dallas Goedert becomes more of a factor. The Philadelphia Eagles, I'm sorry, the Dallas Cowboys are just number 22. So they're kind of a pedestrian against against tight ends. So let me look and see who some of the tight ends who've done well against them, you know, recently. George Kittle, three touchdowns against them in week five. So that was a big one. So that really, really skewed the scoring against them. So you're starting Jalen Hurts, and keep an eye on the fact that on that knee injury, because that thing's been a little bit cranky on him. The Cowboys are number two against quarterbacks, number two against wide receivers. So we're going to see what kind of battle this is. This game being in Philadelphia, I think it's definitely going to skew toward the Eagles, and see how they do that way. The Cowboys, you know, when they've faced elite teams, I mean, we saw what they did against, how they got punched in the nose by the 49ers. And, so it's definitely different. So how do I look at this game going? I'd love to say it's going to shoot out, but I think Dallas is just going to make just enough, just enough noise on the defensive side. So I think it's going to go, Philly's way, but it's going to be 24-21. So we're calling for a push, and it's going to go under just barely. So, yeah, it will not go. So, so we got another game, and this one, we got Seattle at Baltimore. Now, I picked this game because I think this is very interesting kind of contrast kind of team, because you've got Seattle, which is still trying to find its way in the passing game, and Baltimore, which has been, you know, really rounding into being an excellent team. They kind of like an uneven performance last week after they just dominated the Lions. Well, they're back home where they played again, you know, where they dominated the Lions, beat them 38-6. And yeah, and gosh, I mean, Jared Goff got 280 yards on them, but you know, he needed 53 pass attempts to get there, and he did not get a touchdown. So you look at that possibility. I don't love Geno Smith this week, and that one's going to be a little bit on the tough side, because I think that's going to hurt the wide receivers. Now, DK Metcalf was a DNP today in practice, so keep an eye on that in Friday's practice report, because he has been battling, you know, rib and hip issues. That right now the injury is considered to be to the hip. He had a full practice on Wednesday, so let's see what he does on Friday and if he has an injury designation going into the weekend. You're starting Tyler Lockett, keeping an eye on Jackson Smith and Jigba. He's starting to get more work in the passing game. I mean, some more slot work. So he started. That was one of the things that was really good about him in Ohio State. He would get a lot of yards after the catch, taking short and intermediate routes and kind of taking off with the ball. So let's see if they get more yak with him. They start working him that way. So vamos a ver. On the Kansas City side, keep an eye on Kenneth Walker. Now, Kenneth Walker, let me look at and see. He does not have an injury. You know, he did not miss practice, so he's been practicing the 2 days. But you know what? As we saw with Joe Burrow, calf injuries do tend to linger. So and the touches were very similar between him and Zach Charbonnet. Charbonnet looked really good last week. So let's see what transpires on this one. It could be kind of like a very even split. Keep an eye on the fact that the Baltimore defense has gotten beat by running backs of late. Amari DeMercado got 78 yards against them last week. The previous week, Jahmyr Gibbs got 126 total scrimmage yards. And just before that, Derrick Henry got 97 yards. So this defense has been vulnerable of late. Now, this being a home game, maybe they get a little bit more motivation. Vamos a ver on that one. But don't be scared to start Kenneth Walker. And if you need an emergency start, because we have four teams on bye this week and you need to play Zach Charbonnet, hey, you know what? He got some work in the passing game as well. So I'm so bad. But yeah, you're feeling pretty good about them. Now over on the other side of the ball, you got Baltimore. You're starting Lamar Jackson. And you know what? Coming off of three touchdowns last week. Gosh, adios mio, that man, Gus Edwards, who I spent over $50 on in one of my leagues. Muchas gracias for delivering, because I started him in that league, the analytics league, with a lot of my compadres, Bo McBrayer, Scott Simpson, Mike Collins, gosh, Ryan Hallam, Kevin Thompson. Tompkins, Lisa Ann's in there, Samantha Praviti. I mean, just so many people that one's been a really, really fun league and a hard league, almost as hard as my Scott Fishbowl league, which is just me está dando nalgadas cada semana on that one. So that one's been tough. But when, you know, back to Seattle at Baltimore, you're starting Lamar Jackson, you're starting Gus Edwards. Justice Hill is a possibility, because he is still getting targets in that offense. So he last week you know, just kind of a pedestrian game. But you know what? Again, he got work in the passing game, so there might be some possibility, because Seattle's been pretty good against running backs this year. So they are the Seahawks are number six. I'm sorry, number 14 against running backs. So they could be okay. But they're only number 25 against wide receivers. So Zay Flowers, could it be a game for him? So eso vamos a ver. So because I'm looking at some of the previous game logs with them. So who's been able to get them? Amari Cooper got Seahawks last week. Six catches on 11 targets for 89 yards. So I mean, it's you know, the previous week, a little quiet, except for this guy Jamar Chase got 80 yards on them. So you know, Adam Thielen got him for 145 earlier in the season. So that kind of, you know, that kind of skewed things. So again, you're starting Zay Flowers, you're starting Mark Andrews. Let's see how the tight ends have been doing against them. Well, David Njoku got 77 yards against them last week, so 77 and a touchdown. So I'm starting Mark Andrews with very, very much confidence on that one. So again, the guys, Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews. I don't know if I'm starting. I don't know if I'm starting. ¿Cómo se llama? I don't know if I'm starting Rashad Bateman. I'm definitely not starting Odell Beckham Jr. So I'm keeping an eye on Bateman, because this offense still has the possibility to blow up down the road. So let's see what happens there. So prediction on this game, Seattle at Baltimore. Baltimore is 6-point favorite. I don't think Baltimore wins big. I think this is kind of like I think we're going to get a push, 27-21 on this game. So it's going to go over, but we're going to push on the point spread. So we'll see that one. Closing it out, familia. Closing it out. We're going to take a few minutes. We're going to talk about Sunday night football game, Buffalo at Cincinnati. You saw them on the thumbnail. First off, es un milagro. Fantastic that DeMar Hamlin has been able to play and come back and actually be activated for some games. So I hope they do something to honor him before the game. I think it's special that he's back. I hope he gets activated for the game, and I hope he gets to play and just kind of gets over the hump on that one. On this one, you're starting your studs. This is the second biggest over under, 49.5 points. So you're starting all your studs. On the Buffalo side, that means Allen, Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis. Khalil Shakir had himself a little bit of a game last week. There you're getting that one, because this game could shoot. I think this game is going to shoot. I think it's going to go over the 49.5. It's 55 degrees, chance of showers, but it's really, really, really light chance of showers. So you get in there. The guy that's going to be a sneaky play this week is Dalton Kincaid. Well, maybe not a sneaky play, but he's actually going to be an excellent play. The Cincinnati Bengals are number 32 against tight ends. So they are the matchup to attack when it comes to the tight end position. So familia, I mean, you want to look at what they did. I mean, gosh, I mean, George Kittle went for 149 yards on him last week. Tyler Higbee a few weeks before, 71 yards against them. I mean, it's just, again, on and on and on. I mean, the tight ends have done well against them. From the receiving side, again, you know, mentioned Tyler Lockett last week, had 94 yards, Jackson Smith and Jigba, as I mentioned, 48 yards. So this is a defense the Cincinnati defense, they've got a good pass rush, but they are beatable in certain spots. Brandon Ayuk got 109 yards on him last week. So yes, you're starting your receivers. So you're definitely starting Stephon Diggs in that one. Gabriel Davis has just been a stud. But yeah, you're starting all of them. I'm a little worried about James Cook, familia. because he's not getting any of the carries inside the, you know, inside the red zone. And they just signed, and they being the Bills, just signed Leonard Fournette. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a committee. I think Fournette is just going to start getting the targets and the carries that, Damian Harris had at first, and that after that was most recently Latavius Murray. So you're looking at, you're starting Cook because he can get, you know, he's going to get work. He's going to get the work between the 20s, but then he's just going to be, you know, he's going to get taken out when they get inside the red zone. And you're just going to hope that he's going to score a touchdown from a little bit further out. So, which he can, he does have excellent speed that way. Now over on the Cincinnati side of the ball, what we saw at Joe Burrow last week is what we've been waiting for, what we've grown accustomed to. It was just so pretty. I mean, just he completed all those passes in a row to start the game, 284 yards, made it look easy against a very good offense. Now against a very good defense. Now what they did was to negate the pass rush. They definitely threw a lot of short passes, a lot of screens to Ja'Marr Chase, who ended up with 100 yards and 10 catches for 100 yards and got a touchdown in that game. So you're looking for more of the same off of the Bills have been good enough defensively. They've suffered some injuries. So guys are starting to get home on them, but I mean, you're not starting anybody with any kind of worry in this game. You definitely want Chase in there. You definitely want T. Higgins. That was the best I've seen him look all season last year. Not a big game for him. I'm looking at I'm looking at his line right now. He had 69 yards, 5 catches. Again, Ja'Marr Chase, 10 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. So, I think you're not getting the return that you would have liked to from T. Higgins, because some people were picking him in the second round, which I thought was a little much. But again, this is a game that's going to shoot out. Get him in your lineup. So another sneaky play, Joe Mixon is good. That was as good as he looked last week, you know, playing in front of his old high school football coach. So maybe that was a little extra motivation, but his feet looked light. He ran with power. So again, that was the best I've seen him look all season. So maybe they're going to be using him a little bit more. The Bills have been more vulnerable against running backs of late. He's going to be very much a factor in this game. I'm looking at the running back logs against the Bills, and you know, a couple of running backs have been able to do some damage against them. So where is that? I mean, Rashad White had over 100 total yards against them last week. The previous week, Ramondre Stevenson had 85 yards. Before that, Saquon Barkley, you know, almost had 100 scrimmage yards. Again, the running backs are getting home. This is a defense that's really, really been hit hard with injury. Matt Milano out. So I definitely, you don't want to worry too much about starting Joe Mixon, even though I didn't love him, but you know what, this is a great matchup for him. So get him in there. So again, I mentioned this game's going to shoot out. Gosh, I think this is the game that's going to be 31-28. So, and I'm picking the Bengals to do 31-28 on a late Evan McPherson field goal. But Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, they're all going to have themselves games. So we'll see that. So let's just go through real quick. Let's just pick the teams, the remaining teams via the point spread. So let me hide this real quick. Vamos a escondernos. Let's see. I don't know. Someone's getting a little glitchy with StreamYard on me. Let's definitely talk about the games. You got Minnesota at Atlanta. It's a -4 point over 4 points for Atlanta, 37 point over under. You know what? Yeah, I think this game is going to go under. I mean, this game has 17-14 written all over it. I'd like to think that Atlanta is going to, you know, come out gunslinging and go after that soft secondary with the Vikings, but they're starting Taylor Heinicke. Drake London is looking like he's going to sit the game out. So if that's the case, you get Kyle Pitts in your lineup because it might just be him and Bijan Robinson as the main targets in this attack. Maybe Cordarrelle Patterson gets some work. So I'm calling. I'm calling Atlanta to cover 21-14. So that one's going to be there. Arizona at Cleveland. This is going to be. I know it's PJ Walker, but I don't know how much Arizona is going to score with Clayton Tune. This could be 21-3, and you know, you just get this one out of the way. 21-3. So you got. All right, Cleveland's going to cover, but the under's going to cover. Green Bay at Los Angeles. Green Bay is 3-point favorites, which means that Vegas is probably thinking that Matthew Stafford's going to sit out. Or if he plays, it's going to be ineffective. 38.5-point over-under. I mean, Matthew Stafford doesn't play, it's going to be two ugly offenses going against each other. You know, if Green Bay is giving up 3 points, I think the Rams cover. I can see Green Bay winning, but winning a really, really close game, something like 17-16 or something like that. So not a big score. Washington and New England. Now, New England, keep an eye on Mac Jones on DFS this week because Washington just gave up to its top two pass rushers and was already having trouble with the secondary. So if the pass rush is not getting home, and the running game is also weakened. The run defense is also weakened because of losing Montez Sweat and Chase Young. I'm looking at the Patriots to cover. I mean, this is going to be like 20-14 game. So Patriots are going to cover on this one. Mark that one down. Chicago going to New Orleans on the fast track in New Orleans. New Orleans 8.5-point over, 8.5-point favorites, 41-point over under. I think New England covers this one. So I think this is going to be like a 24-14 game. So maybe 24-10. I don't see how much New England, Chicago is going to score. Tyson Bagent is going to be a nice backup in the NFL, but decent backup. Maybe he's going to make some money in the game, but really I don't see him playing around for a long time as a starter. Justin Fields, get yourself healthy. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Houston. Now, my bold prediction on Yahoo coming out is that C.J. Stroud's going to throw for 300 yards. He's averaging almost 300 yards a game at home. As I mentioned, it's at home. It's on the fast track at Energy Field. Play Nico Collins. His two biggest games have both been at home, over 100 yards, including 168 yard with two touchdowns. So start him. Houston is gonna cover, because at Tampa Bay they've allowed the second most receiving yards since week six, so which was after their bye. So whatever they heard, they worked on during their bye, maybe not that good. So Houston covers. I'm calling this game. I think they cover and the over goes. I think it's gonna be like 24-17 Houston with C.J. Stroud over 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Going over to Carolina, Indianapolis, going to Carolina. Indy is 2.5-point over-under. 2.5-point favorites, 44-point over-under. I bet the over because what Indy does, they go over. I want to pick Carolina, but I can't. I think Indianapolis has more weapons. So I think this is going to be a game where Jonathan Taylor just kind of takes it over and they win 21-14. The Giants at Raiders with the brand new coaching staff. Apparently the players are already celebrating that Josh McDaniels is gone because apparently he was a little bit rough on them when he came into practice and practice duration. The Raiders are 1.5-point favorites, 37-point over-under. So I think that over-under's light. I think you got to look at the fact that this game's going to be indoors. It looks like Daniel Jones is going to be coming back. So both defenses have uh, are you know, have been vulnerable to both run and pass. The Giants just gave up Leonard Williams. So I don't know if I have the guts to pick the Raiders, even if they are favorites. I will tell you that I am starting Davante Adams in DFS because I think Aiden O'Connell is going to feed him this week. Just pass to him all day. But I can't believe I'm going to do this, but it's going to be the Raiders. It's going to be Raiders. It's going to be 23-20, sorry. And with Daniel Carson kicking four field goals, including a game winner. So that one, that's that. Monday Night Football, last one. Our Los Angeles Chargers out here in our backyard over the New York Jets. Now, the Jets just don't allow people to, you know, do well offensively. So we're going to I think this is going to be an ugly game. This is going to be a rock fight. I think this is going to be the toughest game that that Justin Herbert faces this season. So, and I'm glad there had to be the hook in there. This game's going to go under, and I can see the Chargers winning, but not covering. It's 3.5 point over under. I'm taking the Jets in the under. So we'll see there. So, familia, eso es todo for our show. Again, make sure you're following us on YouTube. Hit a like, hit a subscribe, por favor. Make sure you get in there, get that on there. Make sure you're following us on YouTube. Make sure you go to Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. Also, for me, you can find I've really, really shifted all of my written work to Yahoo, and it's been great. Just put my name in Yahoo, and you're going to get my everything that I've put out there. But again, you're looking at this week. I just did a rookie report. I also did the running back report. And if you want to not feel so bad about losing last weekend, go check out the Bad Beats, and they're going to have a conviction. Yeah, as I mentioned, my ride or die for this week is in the convictions piece. So where me and several other analysts, we kind of got together and picked our favorite plays for this week. So that's it, familia. If you want to listen to this on audio, go to Spotify, so you get it, Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Again, I'm at Jorge Martin. You find me at Jorge Martin 17. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.